Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Romans chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 11 tonight. I plan to get through the rest of the chapter, but I don't know if we're going to have time or not to do that tonight, so we'll just get as far as we can. The first eight chapters of Romans was the doctrinal section of this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. The church at Rome, by the way, was made up of both Gentiles and Jews. And so the first eight chapters, or the doctrinal section, is what we believe about sin, about justification, about sanctification. Chapters 12 through 16, the last five chapters, is the practical section of the book. And again, that section of the book says, okay, this is what we believe, this is how it ought to impact our way of living. Every one of Paul's letters have those two sections. But we have been in chapters 9 through 11 the past couple of weeks. And in these chapters in the middle of the book of Romans, Paul's dealing with two issues. Again, he's writing to a church that's comprised of both Gentiles and Jews. And so he's writing to the Gentiles. They have the question, Paul, if the Jews are God's chosen people, why aren't more of them saved? How come there's so many of them that have rejected Christ and have not received the gospel? And then he's also writing to the Jews at the church at Rome, dealing with the question, well, is God done with us? I mean, has he cast us off? Do we have no more part in his plan? And in chapter 11, which we started last week, that's the issue he's dealing with here. Is God done with us? He's addressing the Jews now. He's going to be writing to the Gentiles because he doesn't want them, as we'll see in just a second, he doesn't want them to make the same mistake that the Jews made. But basically, this chapter is to make the point that God is not done with his chosen people yet. So look at chapter 11 of Romans, verse 11, where the Bible says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So again, Paul's using this technique that we've seen already twice in the book of Romans, where he asks a question and then he answers it with the phrase, God forbid. We saw that in chapter 6 where he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We saw that in verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 11, where he says, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. And so again, he asked the question, have they stumbled that they should fall? In other words, have they stumbled and is God done with them? Is he through with them? Do they have no more part in his plan? And he answers that question, God forbid. One of the purposes of the falling away of the Jews in God's eyes, in God's plan, was that the gospel would come to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles received the gospel, it would provoke the Jews to jealousy. We talked about that in Romans chapter 10, verse 19, where Paul quoted Deuteronomy 32:31, where Moses talked about that happening, about that God being rejected by his own people and offering the gospel to the Gentiles. And when he does that, the Jews would be jealous, and so many of them would come and be saved. And that's one of the points that Paul's going to make in these next few verses. The gospel was rejected by the Jews. The Gentiles received it. And part of that reception is causing a jealousy on the part of the Jews that said, hey, we could have had this, and we missed it. And now we see the joy that the Gentiles have in the salvation that God offered to us. Maybe we ought to rethink our rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. Verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? What Paul is saying is, if when the Jews fell, the gospel went to the world, went to the Gentiles, just think what it would mean to the kingdom of God, and just think what it would mean to the glory that God would get if Israel came back to God, if they accepted Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And again, he's laying the groundwork to make the point that God's not done with them. that they still have a part in his plan. Verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Now, again, don't read that last phrase and say, well, Paul's getting proud that he's the apostle to the Gentiles. That's not what he's saying. He says he is anticipating a question from his Gentile readers. He's anticipating the question, Paul, if you're the apostle to the Gentiles, why are you so worried about the salvation of the Jews? Didn't God call you to preach to us, the Gentiles? And so Paul says, yes, I am. He said there, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. God called me to that. But he says, I want to magnify my office. In other words, I want my ministry to really count. I want my ministry to lead to more people being saved. Verse 14, "For by any means I may provoke to emulation," jealousy, "them which are my flesh," my kinsmen, my Jews, "and might save some of them." I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Gentiles are getting saved. I hope. I pray. And it's been prophesied that when that happens, Jewish people will get jealous. They'll see what the Gentiles are enjoying. They'll come back to God. They'll receive Jesus Christ. They'll see him as Savior and Messiah. And my ministry will be magnified. It will grow. It will be more productive because Jews will be getting saved as well as the Gentiles that I'm preaching to. So that's what he means when he says, I magnify my office. Logan and Hayden's cousin, Dominic, was here on Sunday, first time. And so after the service, I talked to him. I said, Dominic, have you ever asked Jesus to be your Savior? He said, yes, I have. And he told me about when he got saved. And I said, well, that's what we're all about. That's why we do everything we do around here, is to make sure people hear the gospel and get saved. He said, you know, that's very interesting. I never heard anybody say it just like that. I said, well, yeah, that's everything we do is to so people can hear the gospel. Now, yeah, we want Christians to grow. We want them to get closer to Christ. We want them, you know, to be better representatives of him. But Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. That's what we're all about. That's why we as Christians should grow and get closer to the Lord, so we be more faithful in sharing the gospel. But that's what Paul is saying. I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I preach to the Gentiles. They get saved. I hope that it makes the Jews jealous and they'll come back to Christ too, so that my office can be magnified. My ministry can grow. Verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Again, Paul's making the point. They were cast away. And I've never heard this term before. I looked it up, but I couldn't find a definition of it. But one of the books I'm studying says that this is a fortiori, F-O-R-T-I-O-R-I, argument, where the receiving of the Jews is being contrasted to them being cast away. And so he says the Jews have been cast away. They were cast away because they rejected the Messiah of Israel. Israel took him to the cross. There on the cross, he reconciled the world to himself. And in doing that, their blindness brought salvation to the Gentiles. So Paul asked a question. If that's what the casting away of the Jews did, bringing the Gentiles to Christ, bringing the Gentiles to the gospel, what will their return to God do? What will that result in? Paul answers the question, life from the dead. In other words, more people will be saved. More people will come out of the deadness of sin and come into the life of salvation, the life of the gospel. Now, verses 16 and 17. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Now, the sentence goes on, but I'm going to quit there for a moment. Paul's about, in the next few verses, starting in verse 18, Paul's going to warn the Gentiles about being too proud. He's going to warn them about disparaging the Jews. And to do that, he introduces a couple of metaphors. He talks about the dedication of the first fruits, which God had told the Jews to do back in the book of Numbers. The first part of the harvest is to be dedicated to God. Then he also uses the metaphor of the relationship of the root of the tree to the branches. And so he says, if the first fruit, the Jews, be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Okay? And so, again, the gospel came to the Jews first. The gospel came through the Jews. And God offered the gospel to them first. Some of the branches were broken off of that tree because of their disbelief, because they rejected Christ. As a result of those branches being broken off, some of the Gentiles, in this verse referred to as the wild olive tree, were grafted in among the branches. And because they are grafted into the tree, they are getting sustenance. They are getting what they need from the root. And so, again, Paul's setting the stage for the Gentiles not to be too proud. He says, you were only grafted into this tree because some of the branches, the Jews, were broken off because of their unbelief. But he's making the point, not all of the original branches were broken off. We talked about it last week. There's still a remnant of Jewish people that have received Christ, that have been saved. There's a remnant that are there with you, grafted into this root, which is holy. And if the root's holy, then all the branches are holy. Okay, now he says, make sure you don't get too proud. I'm going to read verses 18 through 24. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded or proud, haughty, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So here's what Paul's saying. Listen, the Jews in the Old Testament were a proud people. They thought they had a monopoly on God. They thought that they had the only way to know God. And what Paul is saying to the Gentiles, if you're not careful, you're going to have the same kind of pride. Don't yield to the temptation to think you're better than the Jews. The new life in Christ that you enjoy comes from the root of Israel, from that root that is holy. And just because you have been grafted into the tree, don't think that you're better than the Jews, because they were not cut off because they were Jews. They were cut off because they didn't believe in the Messiah. And so what Paul is saying to the Gentiles is never forget that it's the grace of God that got you onto this tree in the first place, not anything else that you have done. Because if you get to thinking, well, I'm a Gentile. I'm better than the Jews. Therefore, I deserve what God offers by way of salvation. What Paul is saying, it'd be a lot easier for God to break off the new branches and graft the old ones back in than it is to graft the new ones in. So don't make the same mistake. Don't get so proud and look down on the Jews. Again, because Paul's making the point, God is not done with them yet. He still has a place for the Jews in his plan. And I believe before the end of time comes, we'll see a great revival among the Jews, and many of them will come to see Christ as a Messiah and their Redeemer. Look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Paul's used this phrase, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant, 5 different times in the various letters that he wrote. One of the ones that probably is most well known is the time he used it in the book of Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep in Christ. But there's 3 other times besides these 2. And Paul uses this phrase to say, hey, look, listen, I'm about to say something you need to pay attention to. I'm about to reveal a mystery, not something that's secret, but a truth of God that hasn't been made known up until this time. The blindness happened to the Jews, and notice what it says there. In part, blindness in part. It wasn't total blindness. Again, there's still a remnant. There's still Jews that believe. And then notice what it says. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It's not a permanent blindness. It's blindness that's going to last until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And again, in the book of Acts and in the book of Luke, the Bible talks about the Jews being blinded, the Jews being trodden down, until the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. And so, when the Gentiles have an opportunity to receive the gospel, and those that are going to be saved get saved, God's going to deal with the blindness of the Jews, and they're going to have a chance to receive the gospel, to receive Christ. We'll finish with verse 26 tonight, and then we'll start in verse 27 next week. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, again, Paul's not saying every individual Jew is going to get saved. When he says all Israel, he's talking about Israel as a nation, the nation of Israel. Salvation is going to come to them. Again, not every person that's a Jew is going to get saved simply because they're a Jew. They're going to get saved the same way that the Gentiles got saved, the same way that we got saved, by receiving Christ as their Savior. I mean, he's already, remember, if you go back to chapter 2 in the book of Romans, he already said, hey, just because you're a Jew, just because you were born a Jew, just because you have the law, just because you had the prophets, that doesn't mean that every Jew is going to be saved. Jews are going to be saved the same way that Gentiles are, by coming to Jesus Christ as their Savior. But what Paul is saying, there's going to come a time when the gospel will be preached to the Jews, and many of them will be saved. Many of them, their blindness will come off. They'll see Christ as the promised Messiah. They'll see Christ as their Redeemer. They'll see Christ as their Savior, and they will come to Christ and be saved. And so again, Paul's making the point. God's not done with it yet. You're still a part. There's still a role that you have to play in his plan. And again, that's why we need to be careful. We need to be careful as a people. We need to be careful as a nation. The Jews are still God's chosen people. They're still God's chosen people. I believe one of the reasons that God has blessed us as a nation down through the years is that we have been a friend of Israel. I'm afraid what's going on in today's world, we are not as much of a friend as we should be. And we'll probably pay a price as a nation for that. So again, God's not done with him yet. He chose them. We have the gospel through them. And we're saved by that gospel. And again, we need to pray for our Jewish brethren. We need to pray for the nation of Israel. Again, because God's not done with them. All right, we'll quit there. We'll finish up the chapter next week. Thank you for being here tonight.